Welcome to EAA Radio. Joining us today is Brittany McGraw from NASA Glenn Research Center. And you're just kind of here to tell us about how your week went.
Yes.
What, yeah. And I also hear this is your first time to Oshkosh. What'd you think?
Right. It has been fantastic. You know, the start of the week was a little overwhelming. You have all of these planes that are flying in and out. You hear all these sounds, all the people, all the booths and the panels that you can go to. But this has been great. It's awesome.
Now, how was your attendance at the NASA booth this year compared to others?
It has been fantastic. On average, we've had about 6,000 people come through our pavilion every day. And yes, we have people who are counting and tracking that. But yesterday, we had close to 9,000 people who came through our pavilion because it's a really unique opportunity to be able to engage with someone with NASA. Because a lot of people, they have not had that chance to talk with someone with NASA. So they really enjoy that opportunity to be able to do that.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people think, you know, NASA is space, and mm-hmm. they just do, you know, those.
We just do space stuff.
Space stuff, but you guys do so much more, and you have so many neat projects. What projects were you highlighting this year for anybody who wasn't able to come and see you?
Yeah, we like to say the first A in NASA is what? Aeronautics.
Yeah.
So here we were highlighting our work in airborne sciences. Of course, we do a lot of work in earth sciences. We're a global leader in that. And we use our NASA aircraft to be able to observe the earth and how it's evolving. So we had people here who visitors could talk with them about our work in airborne science and earth sciences. We were also highlighting sustainable aviation and our project with the X-66, which is happening in partnership with Boeing, in which it has the wings and the braces have this long, thin design. That, combined with new technology, the goal is to be able to reduce aviation emissions by up to 30%. So a lot of people had questions about that. We're also highlighting advanced air mobility. When we talk about AAM, we're talking about drones. We're talking about air taxi. So just imagine not having to sit in traffic. You can just hop in an air taxi and get from point A to point B so that your travel is so much faster. But with all of that, you also have to look at the safety aspect of it when you're introducing, you know, these new aircraft into the airspace. How can we do all of this safely? And then, of course, very cool project, the X-59 project. We're doing work when it comes to commercial supersonic travel over land. That aircraft rolled out at the beginning of the year in January. And again, it's about creating an impact and conveniences for people. So if you're trying to go coast to coast, instead of that happening in 5 to 6 hours, just imagine being able to get from New York to LA in about 2.5 hours. So we're just doing a lot of work in aeronautics to be able to impact people and improve their lives.
And yeah, and the one that really intrigues me is that cross brace wing. Mm-hmm. Just because for so long, you know, every airliner has just had a just generic wing, and they've kind of gotten a little bit longer and a little bit more efficient, but you know, they haven't done anything like this. Is just a whole new design with mm-hmm. hopefully giving us, you know, a lot more efficiency in the airplane.
Right. It's that, and then it will take a lot of different solutions, you know, hitting sustainability at a lot of different angles and a lot of solutions. So, you know, there's the X-66, but then we're also doing work when it comes to, we call it our electrified powertrain flight demonstration project, where we're looking at hybrid electric propulsion systems. There's that. We're doing work with the core of the engine. So it's a lot of different solutions to be able to get to that goal. The U.S. has a goal of net zero aviation emissions by 2050. So lots of different solutions to try to reach that goal.
Right. And, you know, this is, you know, something that I think there's a lot of misconception about. It's like, well, why do we care about emissions and sustainability? And from a practical standpoint, the more you can lower the cost or lower the amount of gas you're using, the cheaper your ticket gets.
Right.
Because you know, and so it's not just about the emissions.
Right. It's that real world impact.
Right.
Right. Nobody wants to pay $500, $600, $700 for a flight.
Yes. And if, you know, like I fly some larger airplanes, and, you know, we fly, you know, sometimes with 80,000 pounds of gas that we go through on a, you know, flight over to Europe. And that's a lot of gas.
Yeah.
That costs a lot of money. So, you know, if you could just, you know, cut that down by 10%, the savings is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And the things you're working on to do that are like, just...
It's pretty cool.
It is very cool. It's very cool. Right. And that's, you know, again, you also do space stuff too.
Yeah, we do. So we have had people involved with our Artemis missions who have been here, and so people have had a chance to talk with them because, yes, the S in NASA, of course, is space, and so people have questions about those missions. We're really excited about our Artemis 2 mission, which is NASA's mission to send a crew around the moon. So we are gearing up for that. We've had lots of panels and talks about that, and an opportunity for people to look at some of the models of what the Orion spacecraft will look like, because that's what the Artemis 2 astronauts, that's what they'll be in. But then they also... We have some cutouts of them that we don't have them here in person, but people have been stopping by our pavilion to be able to take pictures with those cutouts. And we did have one of our NASA astronauts here, Randy Bresnik. He was here on Friday, and it was really cool to see him engage and interact, especially with the young people, because they just had a lot of questions about, you know, what's it like to go to space, and you know, what's the hardest thing when you get back to Earth to adjust.
Yeah. So the Artemis mission is one that, I don't know. I mean, I kind of knew we were trying to go back to the moon, but I didn't kind of know a lot of the details. And, so what makes this time going to the moon different than, you know, the last time we went in, you know, a couple years ago?
Yeah, just a few years ago.
Right.
So what makes this different is we're setting the stage for humans to be able to live on the moon. So being able to create those habitats where we can have an extended presence on the moon, and then with being able to do that, setting the stage for exploration to Mars.
And the space station, you're actually going to have a space station around the moon. And what advantages is that going to give you?
Well, the really cool thing about that, so another thing that people may not know with all of this is NASA is involved with work to create a space station that will orbit the moon. It's called Gateway, and we have folks at our pavilion that they can talk with about that. But again, Gateway will provide an opportunity. It'll be orbiting the moon, and it will serve, you know, as a resource, as an option for our astronauts who will be on the moon.
And they're looking for staffing that more long term before we actually go to the moon as kind of a staging base, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And it's my understanding that it's not going to be manned necessarily full time.
Right. It will not be. No.
So are you going to have locks in the doors so that, you know, people don't, you know.
Right. Keep people out. Keep it locked.
Right. Keep it safe.
Only a few people will have the key.
Hey, don't forget it when you leave home.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because that's a long journey back if you leave it on Earth.
Right. Actually, yeah, absolutely. Yes. So when is that Gateway station being launched?
I do not have the exact timeline for it. However, people who are interested in learning more, just head to NASA.gov, and we have a lot of information about Gateway, about the Artemis missions, of course, about aeronautics, all things NASA.
And unfortunately, this show is coming to an end.
I know. I know. This has been, you know, as you shared, this was my first time at AirVenture, and it was just really cool to be able to see things from start to finish. So to see all of the planes and all the pilots who were coming in the beginning, all the RVs that were camped out, to see all of the different exhibitors setting up, and then all the visitors who were just super friendly and super excited to be here to see, you know, what's on the cutting edge when it comes to aviation and aeronautics. And then now, right, we're at the end of it. And so the teardown and folks heading home. But a lot of people have just said this is like a family reunion. So it's people who are here year after year who get to connect and just get to celebrate flight.
So this can't be the only place that you go to do outreach for NASA. And if for somebody who wasn't able to come here, or where are you going to be next? Where can people come and see all of these things?
Well, right on the heels of this, the next thing happening is the AIAA convention, which is happening in Las Vegas. But we do have resources at NASA.gov where you can have NASA experts reach out to you. I think one thing that people may not realize is we have NASA centers all across the country. So there likely may be a NASA center closer to you than you think, because we do lots of outreach within our communities, at schools, and different community events, because it's really important that people understand, not only understand the work that we're doing, but also the fact that NASA is for everyone. It takes a diverse skill set to make us successful and to allow us to do what we do. My background is in communications prior to starting with NASA, so it doesn't, you don't have to be a math wizard. That's cool if you are. You don't have to be a science wizard. Again, it's nice, but it's just that curiosity. I think the main thing is just having that curiosity and that willingness to learn.
Well, and that's the great thing about aviation. It's not just the people who fly the airplanes or fly into space or mm-hmm. whatever, but you need people to build them. You need people to, basically any job you can imagine.
Right.
Somewhere in aviation, you can do that job,
right?
And a lot of people are thinking, oh, it's just the pilots. No, it's I being a pilot, I can't do my job without all the other people who put in the hard work.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that we say, so I'm based at NASA Langley Research Center in Hampton, Virginia, and it's about 3,500 employees. And one thing that we say, that's like a small city. That's like a community.
Yep.
So anything that you would need for a city or a community to work, that's what we have at our center.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Again, we've been joined by Brittany McGraw from NASA Glenn Research Center, and you're listening to EAA Radio.